Hello and welcome everybody back to Lily of the Herbs podcasts. Hope you're all well and enjoying the first days of winter. It's beautiful sunny days here where I am, and the nights are pretty cold, so it's a bit lush. You can still go for a swim at the beach in the day. Plants are still growing. My tomatoes are still in the ground, but I can still light a fire at night, so I'm pretty happy. I've just been studying back at uni, studying Western herbal medicine, and I'm about to start my clinic observation hours at Mullumbimby Herbal, which will be beautiful to observe these really experienced practitioners treating. So that's what's new in my world. And in other news, I've had a couple of friends come up and stay at the property that I've been living at, Tommy and Tian. And these two guys, very inspiring for me. At the start of this year, they founded the Wild Seeds Party, which is a really beautiful gathering, tree gathering party group. That's a not-for-profit organization that has been founded with a clear purpose to plant trees and party. It's a regeneration celebration. So Tian put the call out at the start of this year, made a video about wanting to do something in the face of drought, deforestation and bushfires, and get involved, get people out from the cities onto land and start that action model happening. And I just really felt his deep desire to interact and give back. And I think it's beautiful. And while this podcast is about that project and it's not necessarily about herbalism, I still believe that it's a grassroots, a grassroots gathering, which is just as important and is medicine for people to bring them out onto the land. So I really believe in supporting the work that they're doing. Tian is a rewilding, vision questing filmmaker who runs forest meditations and walks and doesn't has his hands in many, many different fields. And he's a beautiful leader, so it's great to hear his voice on here, and he's joined by the lovable and amazing Harley driving Tommy, who's studying transpersonal counselling and is just really, really brings that heart and sense of community to this. So it's great to hear their visions and their hearts on the podcast. And we just talk about the founding of the project, what its intention is, and I hope that if you feel the call, and you like what these guys are doing, you feel to support or join in a party at some point. So enjoy. Great. So here I am with my two friends, Tommy and Tian. We're all in a luscious paradise in northern New South Wales. We're all kind of living together currently. I was so excited when these guys came up, because they've started a really beautiful project called Wild Seeds. Hey, Tommy. Hey, Tian.
Hello, thank
Hi.
you for having us.
I just looked at one and then the other. Said opposite names. We're sitting on one couch. So I think it started at the start of this year, and I saw the project happening and just really felt like, I know there's a lot of projects out there, but it's beautiful when it's grassroots and you know the people involved, and the more people planting trees out there, the better. So I'd love one of you to just, maybe Tian, just talk about how it started.
I guess it started when I kind of just felt into the lands here, specifically down in Victoria. And for the last year and a half, I've been working on a tree farm. And so I've been caring for trees, watching them grow, go through the seasons, and more importantly, seeing the healthy ecosystems that they support, particularly in the soil. And there's a whole vast array of things that that are benefit from that, but we'll go into that later. But witnessing that, I then kind of felt into Australia and how we don't have a flourishing wet system down in Victoria, and all across Australia there's drought. And then I started like thinking into it and Yeah, we cleared a lot of trees. A lot of old growth forests were taken down, you know, for timber, for housing, for so many reasons. And now they're just massive farmlands for cattle or crop. And I remember flying across, I think I was going from Melbourne to Adelaide or somewhere, and there's just fields and fields and fields of like empty land. It's just grass and crops. And so therefore the weather systems aren't coming in. Coming in from the sea. Anyway, my inspiration behind it kind of that was like the first notch, and then we went through the bushfires, big bushfires over Christmas and basically over summer, and it just felt like there was this huge time for people to give back to the land, and I felt into it and basically just put a call out to the world, to community, to social media, and said, who's interested in planting trees to give these parched lands a chance? And from one Facebook video turned out to be hundreds of people interested, and got a core team of amazing people who wanted to work with us, work on it, and yeah, here we are.
Yeah, beautiful. So that was all, yeah, just at the start of this year,
Basically.
that wild seeds kind of became formed. And how did you get into it, Tommy?
For me, obviously I'm quite close with Tian, so I knew this was brewing for a little while, and when I saw Tian's post, I could really feel just how needed this kind of work is. And for me, I'm only quite new to this environmental awareness, I guess you could say. But a big part in my realization process around how important land biodiversity is was came from One Strange Rock on Netflix, actually. And that really drove home just how interconnected all of these.
What is one? I don't know. I've never heard of it. What is that?
So it's like a documentary series run by, I think it's Will Smith. He narrates it, and yeah, it's basically astronauts looking down on the Earth and telling their stories and showing us, yeah, just how interconnected all of these different weather systems and biosystems are actually linked. And so seeing that and realizing just how interlinked we all are on this planet, I realized the effect that huge deforestation has on the broader ecosystem, rather than just, because I was always under the assumption, yeah, it's bad for the animals that inhabit that place, but I didn't know the broader effect. So yeah, coming to that realization, I wanted to help out, and I love a good party, so why not organize one that actually gives back and does some good?
Yeah, beautiful. So, yeah, the ethos behind it being that people gather and plant trees together, basically. So, going back to the tree, yeah, this is so much to talk about. This really, in a way, like going back to the tree farm. What kind of trees were you growing on that farm? Is that where you source the trees from?
Yeah, so the tree farm, it's called Dalpura, and it's down in Moriac or near Anglesey in Victoria. And a good friend of mine runs it, and basically, George's long-term vision for the property, he's had it for I think about 20 years or so. His long-term goal, like his mission statement, was to build the soil, to give the land life. And being there now, you can see there's mushrooms everywhere. There's mycelium everywhere. There's healthy trees. There's trees that are self-sowing, that's growing from their own seed. And we're planting a lot. So it's a pretty diverse mix of trees. There's a whole area of a large area of the property that's revegetation, so predominantly endemic or native to that area, and they're just allowed to do what they want and grow how they want. And then there's other areas on the farm, which is some natives that have been grown specifically for height, you know, for timber. And then there's other areas that are introduced species, and they're specifically grown there for specific reasons. So they might be slowing down water courses, or so everything's thought through.
So is it agroforestry, the term that he was
basically
talking about?
Yeah.
So he's getting his income from selling the timber to various people.
There's a long term, plan for that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And does he have a nursery, a plant nursery there?
No. So we source all the trees from other nurseries, local nurseries that, you know, they do that full time. They grow trees, they grow seedlings, and you place an order, and they'll grow the seeds at the specific time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good to support local nurseries. I think that's something that, people often, like, I used to work in a native plant nursery for a few years, and they had a thing, like, people would just come from, like, random other part of Victoria and be like, I'm looking for this, you know, what have you got? And I'm like, well, where are you going to take it? Like, go to the nursery that's probably right there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think I wanted to share this podcast as well, because it's another passion of mine. Like, I mean, predominantly this is a podcast about herbalism, but, you know, so many of the plants that I want to go out and wild forage or harvest, you know, that depends on having an ecosystem around and having a stable weather patterning and different seasons that can come in. It's often, actually, although a lot of the herbs that I do harvest are introduced in technically pests and weeds, like St. John's wort, but those herbs in themselves are coming to regenerate the land themselves. Mm. But we can also be like herbs. So that's why I'm interviewing you guys, because I see you two as herbs.
Yeah, I am the herb.
You are the herb to me. Like, how different are people and plants? Not really. And that's why wild seeds is like, I see it as this perfect medicine.
Mm.
It's a... it's like bringing in people to be joyful and heal together and plant on the land.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a pretty powerful message to put out there to the world, and I guess that's a bit about us, and you know, being a city person and growing up in the city most of my life, like, that's what I know. I know people. I know how. You know, how to be around people. So learning to be on land has been a really exciting new thing, but it just seems like a perfect blend. So we can bring people to the land, and it's a mutual exchange. You know, people get to celebrate and get to be around other people and share art and share music and share expression, and also give back to the land that we're so lucky to be a part of.
Yeah. For me, it feels like an integration of all that we are into it's an integration of all of these different parts that make us human and make us a community, and we're bringing that into an event that not only connects us to other humans and other community, but also connects us back to where we come from, the land. So it's a pretty powerful kind of endeavor.
Yeah, so what will one model look like? So you've had one gathering so far before Corona hit. Like, what does that look like?
So unfortunately that we were ready to start promoting tickets, and then coronavirus hit, and it was just like everything just went on hold. So now that the restrictions have lifted or eased ever so slightly, we've had a very small party, because we're in the tree planting season right now, specifically in Victoria. So the idea behind it is that we all gather, set up the space, you know, for camping and whatnot, and we celebrate, and then we come into the weekend, and we have time slots to plant, and basically it runs over two and a half days, so in that time people need to plant an X amount of trees. So depending on the property, depending on...
So each person that attends has to plant a certain amount of trees.
Yeah.
And did you say they purchase a ticket, like they pay to come and
purchase
do that?
A ticket. So the ticket pricing is basically to purchase the trees and the tools and all the soil and everything. So it's a closed loop system. It's a not-for-profit. We're not here to make any money from it. We want any money that is made, it goes into future events.
Yeah.
And just to kind of, this is the big goal is to basically have a formula, a package that anyone can contact us and say, I want to run a party, I want to run a tree planting party somewhere, anywhere in Australia. And we can say, okay, cool, here's our template, here's all the nurseries that are local to you, here's the land care, speak to them, and then we'll help you, we'll guide you through this, and here's the link to sell tickets.
Beautiful model.
Yeah, anyone can do it.
Yeah, because that's the thing with this kind of project. It's not about keeping it to ourselves. We're on this because we want to create a better ecosystem everywhere, not just in our little pocket. And yeah, it only feels right to share that around, to share that knowledge around, and. Through our experience with connecting with other not-for-profit organisations who run kind of similar events, they're more than willing to help us out with information. And it's a beautiful reciprocity. It's something I haven't experienced in, I guess, other organisations helping each other on those kind of levels. So yeah, we definitely want to offer that.
Yeah, there's no competition.
Yeah.
For planting trees, because we all agree that we need it.
Yeah. We're all in for the same goal.
Yeah.
More trees.
Yeah.
And we have people like is there a bit of like, do you have musicians come or like DJs, and there's like workshops as well throughout that.
Every party can be different. Yeah. So the first party we were going to do, just, and this is going to happen, we're going to, basically the first night is more of a chilled vibe, and then the second night we're going to have actual DJs and create more of that party environment. But any party can be different. You could have a lifestyle party, so there is no music, or maybe there's only acoustic.
Yeah, that's it. And that comes through the farmer's consideration, really. Yeah. Like, it's our main goal is to get as many trees in the ground as we can, whether we have five DJs playing or two spoken word artists.
Yeah.
Like, for entertainment, that's really, really doesn't matter to us. The intention is to get trees in the ground with a sense of community. So yeah, however that looks is however that looks.
Yeah, and I wonder if you'll have to come back and do kind of follow-up ones. Do you have, and do you provide support to the farmers keeping the stuff? I mean, obviously, just like with tree planting, especially with regeneration, you have like a certain percentage that just dies.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah. So the deeper that we dive into this, the more structure it's going to have. Potentially, that's the idea in a way. But basically, we want to write up a plan for each farm, for each property, and say, okay, these are the trees that are going in, and this is why, and this is a 5-year plan. And then we would want to come back and check in at a certain time frame.
Yeah.
Obviously, the less healthy ecosystem in the soil, the more we'd probably have to come back and check on the trees. But if it is a thriving ecosystem, then maybe we can leave it a bit longer.
Yeah.
But we could have small gatherings, and everyone that came to the original tree planting in 3 to 10 years' time, whenever it is, we could have a second gathering and be like, hey, come check out your work. See how the trees have grown. See the forest that you've created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the aftercare comes, I guess, as Tian was saying, we are starting to create these models and these proposals, and the aftercare, I feel, comes from negotiations with the farmers as well, because this is a model we are trying to apply, not just in Victoria, but all up the eastern, for now, the east coast of Australia. Each climate is going to be different, and the aftercare is going to be different. So, yeah, one farmer's needs is going to be a lot different to another's. We just continue that.
Beautiful. I wonder if it has to be... Yeah, I guess in a way it does have to be on private property with mm-hmm. a person who owns that land.
Yeah.
Mm. And I love that you guys are saying farmers, because there's people, so many people out there that own land aren't even farmers. They just own so much land.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like, because I'm seeing that as a forager and wildcrafter, I go out there and like, you know, on other people's land and on state forest and national parks, and well, you're not supposed to harvest in national parks, but no, I don't really. I harvest weeds. But I think that land is, yeah, we're coming into a time now where I think the fences eventually will fall down,
mm-hmm.
and this is a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Plants have no borders. Plants have no, don't really see fences.
Mm.
And I just think that private land ownership hopefully one day will become a bit of a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way of doing that.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah, and maybe, so what's the really, really long term? What's your, okay, what's your 1 year vision? Like, oh, okay, what's your plan for in the next few months? Like, what are you calling in? And then what's your really long term plan?
Mm.
Either of you.
I guess the short term goals are to have parties to make this happen. So we've got two other properties ready to go. Of course, we're kind of waiting out this coronavirus just to see when we can gather more than, I mean, 100 people is great. That would really, start us off really well. And then in a year's time and long-term goal, like, I'd like to see regular parties. Like, basically the whole planting season. So from spring, from autumn to spring, that we have as many parties as possible all around Australia. I'd like to see this gain a lot of momentum, and so people see what's happening and get on board. And the other piece is like working alongside other organisations. So there's already groups doing a lot of tree planting, and there's already groups doing a lot of land care and wildlife care. And I'd love to be able to team up with them and bring the people. So they can organise their part and we bring the people, and it's just a merge of different organisations but with the same common goal. So that I have been in conversations with a few people and seeing what's available. But right now it's just like we just want to have these immediate parties.
I feel it's right now it's about exposure. And like Tian said, we've got the two farms lined up already, so it's basically tailoring the package and the getting to know the trees we're going to plant, and just making sure we're ready to roll out those two farms when the time comes, when Corona kind of does its thing. And then the sky's the limit, really. Like we've touched on, we are quite grassroots, and we keep everything like in our community in regards to support and everything like that. So we're just going to follow the momentum and see what comes alive through continuing to do the work that we're doing.
That's great, and I love that it is grassroots, because I mean, I'm just that's all I'm about is grassroots, and you're not. Neither of you are claiming to be tree experts, and we come from this, and we have this scientific background, and we know this. And it's like, you don't need that. We are humans, and humans interact with nature and plant things, and that's what it's about, making it accessible.
And that's the beauty of community. Like, me and Tian aren't scientists or have a huge background in this sort of stuff, but we've been in contact with some incredibly connected and smart people who have devoted their lives to this sort of stuff, you know, and then, like we said, they're more than willing to give us their information and their wisdom, because we all want the same thing. We want a thriving ecosystem, somewhere we can continue to grow our food and sustain our living for centuries to come. Like, that's the goal.
How cool would it be to like see like a forest that you made in like 30 years time?
Yeah.
You know, I did a tree planting a couple of weeks ago now, and like, you know, they're this big. They're like a few, like, I don't know,
half a ruler for those listening in.
Yeah. And in like, you know, 20 years time, they're going to be full trees. They're going to be like up in the sky, and I'm going to be able to go back there and look at them and be like, wow, like, I supported your growth, and hopefully that your growth supports everything else around here, you know.
Yeah. It's an exciting concept.
Yeah, and I guess that then, then all the other species can come in and join in. Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, so do you have enough properties? Like, I guess it's really more... You're both pretty popular guys, so you've got lots of friends, you've got the properties. Do you need more? Like, are you really open to people contacting you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we need properties. We need people, we need properties, we need artists, we need musicians, we need nurseries, like, we need everything, because... if people contact us, then it's just going to save us from contacting them.
Yeah.
Basically, I just run off the vibe that if you feel the call to this kind of offering, like, whatever you have to offer, get in contact with us. You know, I'm an ex-tradie refrigeration mechanic who rides a Harley. Like, I've got really... Like, I'm so separate from this kind of world, if you'd look at the paper, but yet I'm here helping... like, create this. So whatever you feel like you have to bring, just send us a message. Instagram, Facebook, Wild Seeds, we'll just search that, and you'll get in contact with us.
I mean, we've got to launch another funding campaign, because the last one didn't go ahead because of the coronavirus. So once we get some funding up, so if people do want to donate, like, that would help us a bunch. That'll be things like website, getting the ticket structure, that will be planted, like buying the seedlings and any tools that we need.
We've got a description of everything the money goes towards, and we're like, one of our highest values, I feel like I can speak for everyone here, is absolute clarity with whatever we're spending money on, because that's just incredibly
transparency
important.
Is transparency. Very important to us, because we don't want to be like big corporations that you know, hide stuff, and we want to be super open about where this money is going, and the very first meeting we discussed, it's not about the money for us. We all do our own thing. We all have our own businesses or work for in businesses and whatnot, so this isn't about getting a wage from this.
Doesn't also sound like it's about getting as big as possible. Like, just get, and I love that when you said your long-term vision, it's just about having gatherings happening long-term. Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful. One thing that I totally forgot to mention, so I'll put up all your websites and links to all of these things for anyone in the bio that's interested. But I guess, when you spoke about the drought and the bushfires that happened, and that really inspiring, I guess, I just, and that now is the time to be planting trees, this period between autumn and spring. I guess I really wanted to remind everyone that, like, those bushfires were hectic this year, and some of us in the city weren't as affected, but they it's like that time's coming up again now. It's, we can forget so quickly when there's something like coronavirus or whatever, you know, it's like, I might die. You might die from a virus. I don't think you will. And, like, you know, this bushfire season is coming up again. And we need trees.
And that's, like, me and Tiana both travelled up the East Coast from Melbourne to Byron in the last 2 weeks, and we saw firsthand, like, we stayed at a farm stay along the way, and saw firsthand the devastating effects of the fires. This property that we're staying at, it was literally 10 metres. Basically, it was a farm surrounded by nature national parks, and 95% of their property was torched by a fire, and it came up 10 meters to the house, and seeing that had a lasting effect of the absolute devastation those fires caused. And not only do we want to start replenishing those beautiful trees and creating more more forests, but we also, our tree species, we also take into consideration fire retardant species, mm-hmm. and we want to make the most safest kind mm. of system we can mm. for the animals and the humans who inhabit that land.
And so. also to mention, fire management is in our awareness.
Mm.
So we're not just planting trees willy-nilly, you know, we're not just going like, oh, let's chuck all mm. the trees out there. We're mm. actually taking into consideration of, like what Tommy was saying, like what species go where,
mm.
but also the distance between trees.
Yeah.
I was listening to a beautiful interview with Bruce Pascoe. He's an amazing author. And he mentioned him and his family and friends are going to start going back to the old ways, the old mm. Aboriginal ways of fire and land management.
Mm.
And that means taking trees. That means mm. culling and chopping down specific trees because of the hazard.
Mm.
So backburning is very dangerous, but mm. if we use people power to manage these lands,
mm.
then there's an opportunity for bushfires to be way less devastating.
Mm.
And that's something in our awareness and in our consideration. And if that means we have tree planting parties that also do that,
mm.
that look at the forestry area, for every tree we take down, we plant double or triple or whatever that looks mm-hmm. like. But yeah, this is in our awareness because mm. we want Australia to thrive and to be safe, and particularly the species out there that are mm. threatened.
Yeah.
And how devastating that is.
Mm-hmm.
And also building corridors for wildlife,
mm-hmm.
for birds, mm-hmm. koalas, you know, all the wildlife. So if they do get in a sticky situation, they have somewhere to go.
Mm.
And so that's really in our awareness. And this will evolve over time. We're not going to get it right every time. We're not going to be perfect at it.
Mm.
I think that's the benefit of being in the grassroots nature. But
mm-hmm.
the people that we have been talking to and discussing with, these people know what they're doing.
Mm.
And I just want to also mention that we're not, we're kind of treading the line between conservation and agroforestry.
Mm.
And we have both in our interest,
mm.
Yet neither are more important than the other.
Mm.
So I really want to make that known.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point to make. You're not mm. just untouchable, like it's like mm. we want to be able to interact, and that's why I take my hat off to you both for getting involved and for learning and bringing your awareness. It's like empowering as opposed to being like everything's going to burn down.
Mm.
It's mm. like we need to get smarter and educate ourselves.
Mm.
The people
exactly.
who have come before, their management practices, how
mm.
they're already working, still working with the land, how
mm.
we can work with them,
mm.
and what exact species, you know, it's going to be a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't just start with that, yeah, where are we going to go from?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we don't start, then we just won't.
Yeah.
Like, all
yeah.
we can do is do the research that we're doing and
mm.
just plant trees and learn
yeah.
as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you've planted trees, maybe then moving on, like there's grasslands. Grasslands are incredibly important.
Mm. Yeah.
And then it can, I mean, I'll get involved and then we can do medicinal, like we can start planning out medicinal forests
mm.
as well,
yeah,
interplanting yeah. with that. I mean, what do you think about even, I guess, because you said you're not just solely conservation, what do you
mm.
think about introduced species in terms of permaculture?
Mm.
Where's your perspective on that?
Mm. I'll admit I'm not versed greatly in this regard, but I have a beautiful friend there. His name's Seb, and he's really shone the light on, just because something isn't native to that area doesn't mean that it can't assist the biodiversity in that area. And yeah, so I guess that's where
mm.
I stand.
Mm.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think. Like within moderation, like to be honest, like we've kind of already messed with the land and the ecosystem.
Mm.
So my perspective, there's no going back to what it was
mm.
pre-colonialization, you know, we have to move forward. And so I feel like the healthiest way we can do that is utilizing species that we know of. We're at a certain point in our existence that we understand trees. We understand how things work to a certain degree. There's always more to learn,
mm-hmm.
but our technology is super important. And if we can understand how trees can live together, then that can benefit the lands. And of course there needs to be moderation.
Mm.
So don't, like, I'm for absolutely planting endemic trees, so native to that area,
mm.
but also native from other areas, because they might have a longer survival rate.
Mm.
And then I'm totally open to planting introduced species, because they might enhance the growth and the biodiversity of that area.
Mm.
So these are all things that, again, we're going to learn as we go, but
mm.
I think all of it has to be taken into consideration with good land management.
Mm.
So for instance, if a willow is taking all the water,
mm.
which some species do from the water courses, then chop it down.
Mm.
You know, manage it.
Mm.
Don't just don't stand back and be like, oh, we fucked up, shit. Okay, damn. You know, like, manage it. Take the tree,
mm.
and then plant two in its place. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's actually quite simple. Like,
mm.
we can actually like. Think about this, and
mm.
I was speaking to a man last year, actually, who has a beautiful furniture shop, and I think it's out near Benalla, out that way. Anyway, I was like, where do you source your trees from? And he's like, well, we go into the national parks, and we go with the rangers, and the rangers walk them through and say, okay, this tree can be taken because it's too close to this tree, or it's an endangered, or it's dying, or whatever the reason is, they specifically go through the forest and they choose trees.
Oh.
And they don't take too much, they don't take too little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take the Goldilocks amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's perfect, because it they're managing the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that would benefit so many different areas.
Mm.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And hearing that, I think you said, but one thing I wanted to say is, you were like, just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, think about it. And then I also wanted to say that, like, then walking with the rangers, and this is what we do in herbalism, like, it's a wildcrafting practice.
Mm.
It's like, if you're going to take a plant, you think, okay,
mm.
what else is interact, like, what else
mm.
is eating this plant,
mm.
what is the plant, when is its life cycle,
mm.
is it ready, is it about to die, maybe I can harvest it and something else will pop up, like, or I can put something in its place.
Mm.
I think feeling and
mm.
sensing, that's
mm-hmm.
something that I
yeah.
hope that people learn and maybe get exposed to by just
yeah.
so many people don't even know how to plant anything, so by putting something in the ground, I really hope that, yeah, maybe people will start to be like, sensing and learning
yeah.
about the cycles.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
So it's like a feeling rather than a thinking.
For sure.
Hopefully, mm. imagine we could all start to become feeling beings
yeah.
again and thinking beings.
That would be a dream, huh?
Yeah. yeah. But also, yeah, brilliant that you're talking and learning from elders
mm.
and people that
mm.
have a lot of experience
yeah.
in this. So it's like, yes, you don't know fully, but it's like, yeah, we have to honour
mm.
and learn
mm.
from those
mm.
before
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Integration.
Mm. Well, this is great to hear from you guys. It feels like there's a lot of still, even though there was a bit of a bump in the road there with this recent experience that we've all gone through,
mm-hmm.
I feel that I feel like the energy and intention is still there, and it's going to
mm-hmm.
just blossom like spring. Well, winter's coming, actually. It doesn't feel like that because we're in the Northern Rivers, but spring's coming, and then I feel that it can really, really take off.
Mm.
Is there... Yeah, do you have any kind of last things that you'd love to share? Anything you want to share?
Mm. Yeah, for me, it's a really emphasizing the community
mm.
aspect
mm.
to this. It's like we, and I think I said this in my very first post about this. It's like, I can't do this alone.
Mm.
We can't do this alone. Like, we need community. We need people. We need, if you can't afford a ticket, then what can you bring? If you can't afford a donation, like,
mm.
what can you bring? Can you offer a property? Can you offer your time? Can you offer...
Mm.
Whatever it is, this is a community event. And we want to support people, and we want people to support us.
Mm.
And, it, you know, what comes out of that is us all supporting the land.
Mm.
And
mm.
so I just really want to, like, emphasize that, the community aspect to this.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and coming off the back of that, I really want to thank everyone who has
mm.
Provided their support, everyone who's liked, shared, followed our groups, anything on Facebook, any social media, thank you so much. And we had some huge donations to our previous unsuccessful campaign. But yeah, it was still it was so humbling and so beautiful to receive that that feeling of support through the energetic exchange of money. So yeah, thank you, and yeah, we're really looking forward to the next party and seeing the momentum build on this. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
Okay.